Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
It's Stokely and Zach on Sports Radio 1043 The Fan.
An old familiar face in Broncos country was in the headlines over the weekend. And it just signals a, you know, we're in a unique time here. We're in a unique time. You know, so much in 2020, it's like a punchline, right? It's like, oh, it's 2020. You know, 2020's got this label of just being, you know, what it was. We all get it. But here we are in 2021, and, you know, some of the same issues of 2020 are still here. And I'm talking about Vikings offensive line coach Rick Dennison. Patriots co-offensive line coach Cole Popovich were both let go by their teams for refusing the COVID-19 vaccine. Rick Dennison...
Did it happen for Rick? I saw there was conflicting reports there where he, you know, they were still in negotiations with him. So I'm not quite sure if it went down. I didn't see... And this was like on Saturday. So I didn't see if there was some finale there or not.
Some finale there. Yeah. Usually that's reserved for like the 4th of July fireworks. But
yeah, did we get any? Did we get an end? Is it over yet? did it finish?
No. So apparently they're having quote discussions on how to move forward.
So he's not out yet.
Well, here's what we do know: the way that his job was currently constructed, it's not going to be that.
Yeah.
You know, he's not going to be in the fold. You're not allowed to.
Right.
According to the NFL.
Yeah, so what are you going to do if you're the, you know, offensive, what is the offensive line coach there or what is
Yes.
I mean, how can you coach if you can't be in front of the players?
Right.
Doesn't make sense.
So, like, you can tell me he's not out, but unless you're going to.
Well, unless he gets the vaccine.
Right. Unless he gets the vaccine, right?
Which, if you haven't gotten it by now, guess what? I mean, and you're going down this road this far, then you're probably not going to get it.
Yeah.
Right?
And I saw a study over the weekend that said among folks who have not gotten the vaccine, it was like 3% were left that were still undecided. 46% was definitely not. Another 40% was more likely not. So you're right. Like if you're, you know.
Especially if you're in that position where you know that I have to get this to do my job. If I don't get it, I can't do my job.
Right.
And, but, you know, I mean, what are they going to do? Are they going to fire him? Well, he's still going to get paid. So I think he, you know, he looks at it as, I don't know how he looks at this thing. Realizing that if they do let him go, he still will get paid. So it will be, you know, interesting to see how it plays out.
Do you have a guess here? I mean, it's actually almost like unfair to even ask you He obviously feels principled on this issue that they would be this far down the road and him still this be a discussion for him. So
he doesn't want to do it.
More than likely, he's going to say, you know,
maybe they ask him to, you know, consult or do something special for the head coach or offense, you know, and watch, you know, be a consultant. Maybe they ask him to do that. Maybe they just say, hey, we're done with you now. We just can't do it. And I mean, I believe he still would get paid. So, and that's, we'll see. I mean, we'll see. But it's hard to kind of speculate and guess what's going to happen next with the Vikings. And if they just decide to move on, or if they decide, you know, maybe to try to find him another role.
Right.
This is where we are. I mean, we've talked about it. All the Broncos coaches are vaccinated, I think, according to Vic, correct?
Yep. Okay. Correct. They have one of the highest vaccine rates of any NFL team, which is really, you know, I try to be as respectful as possible with this conversation because I just try to be understanding of the other side. I'm not one of these guys like, oh, if you don't get the vaccine, you're a total, idiot, imbecile. You don't have a brain, because there is some stuff that someone on that side I just don't want to tell someone that their thought isn't valid. And here,
because we don't know what it's going to look like in 5 years.
We don't.
10 years. Or how it's going to affect you long term. So, you know, they have a point. And so you're right. I mean, I'm vaccinated. So, but I'm taking that risk. You know, I don't know what it's going to look like in 2 or 3 years, but I'm okay taking that risk.
Yeah.
So, but I'm not going to look down.
Right.
On exactly. anybody else, like you're saying, yeah. that doesn't want to get it. That's their prerogative. They're right. But don't expect me not to, you know, live my life.
Right.
You know, like I want to live it because right. people aren't getting vaccinated.
Right.
I'm going to do my thing now.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Yep. This is a tricky one, man, because, you know, now you got guys like DeAndre Hopkins saying that he's considering, you know, retiring. We know Cole Beasley isn't going to get the vaccine. We know Alexander Johnson, you know, who once said that the pandemic was planned, you know, he's likely not going to get the vaccine. But the ramifications here, if the Broncos find themselves in a situation like they found themselves a year ago, man, it's like you talk about throwing down the gauntlet. I mean, you're going to forfeit a game. And that was not the case a year ago. The NFL was really flexible. They had Bills Titans on a Wednesday.
That was cool. I liked that.
I did like it as well.
How could you not like that?
Spread the content out.
Why don't
spread the action out? But it's,
you got more eyeballs on that game than you will, you know, a Broncos Jacksonville game on a, you know, Sunday at 1 o'clock. I mean, put them on a Wednesday. I mean, who's not going to watch that game?
Right.
The problem is the logistics and trying to figure out the bye week, and because you're playing on Thursday once. I think they shouldn't make Thursday mandatory for everyone. Maybe split it up a little bit. I don't know how you can do it schedule wise. It's probably difficult. To give some teams Wednesdays and Thursday games because the bye week needs to kind of,
right.
you know, makes it tough, makes it difficult. But I love having games on a, you know, a Wednesday, a Tuesday. That how could you not? During football season? I mean, the more the merrier.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel the same way. Now, where I do get a little bit, I don't quite know how to articulate the exact thought or emotion, but having players assigned wristbands that, you know, aren't vaccinated in Pittsburgh and in Tampa with the Bucks, that's something doesn't sit well with me with that.
Well, did you see that the quarterbacks for Tampa weren't wearing them?
Gotcha.
They weren't wearing them at all. So that kind of just lets you know, and the NFLPA said that we haven't agreed to the wristband thing. So you see some players wearing, you know, certain colors, some players wearing a different color. Tom Brady not wearing anything.
Right.
I think so. Tom Brady's saying, y'all ain't making me wear a wristband if I don't want to wear a wristband. The NFLPA right. saying, we haven't agreed to this. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, especially when a guy like Tom Brady says he's not wearing it. Guess what? Tom Brady ain't going to wear it then.
Right.
Right. You're not going to make Tom Brady wear a bracelet to say whether he got it or not. I mean, that to me, you know, when you talk about HIPAA and you talk about, you know, your right of privacy when it comes to certain things, you can't make a guy wear a wristband to say whether he got the vaccine or not.
Something about that strikes just not good memories, you know, from our human history. I think that's taking it a little too far.
Because yeah, I mean, I don't know about all that. I just know that, you know, usually these things, you have to have agreement with NFLPA.
Yeah.
And doesn't sound like they do. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what happens with the Broncos, what happens with these other teams, if they scrap that idea or what comes about it. But I did see where Brady and the quarterbacks, because they were saying who had what color on in Tampa.
You knew
who was vaccinated, who wasn't vaccinated. And they looked at the quarterbacks, and, you know, Brady just told them, hey, we're not wearing it,
yeah.
right? I mean, I'm sure that's what happened.
Yeah.
So none of them wore it.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Well, we're not out of the woods with this, the NFL and games and cancellations. And,
no.
you know, we'll see what it looks like. We will see what it looks like here. All right, a former first-round pick for the Denver Broncos, primed to have a breakout season. Will the quarterback be adequate enough to allow it to happen? Take a dive into that conversation coming up next. All right, former first-round pick, trying to have a breakout season for the Broncos. Will the quarterback situation allow that to happen? I think this conversation is in play for two guys. We'll be talking about Noah Fant or Jerry Jeudy here. But we're talking about Jeudy. We know his rookie season was filled with ups and downs and, you know,
You're right. Two in play. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. From the drops to the perceived chemistry issues with Drew Locke, from the post-game tweeting,
Yeah, there's a lot of other stuff
there.
I mean, I don't want to say a lot of other stuff, but you're right. You know, I had the tweeting. I had the, was it a shot at Pat Shurmur? Also about the conditioning against, whatever game. It's like, hey, when you're dropping balls and you're not, like, balling out, I would just stay away from, any kind of thing that could be perceived as being critical at all to anything.
Right.
Right? I mean, so, especially when you're a young football player.
Right.
And he's young, and maybe he'll realize that. Hopefully he will.
Ball security is job security.
Thank you, Brock.
Well, ESPN ranked Jerry Jeudy as their number two breakout candidate league-wide this past season. Okay, this is the whole NFL at their fingertips. They chose Jerry Jeudy as their second candidate to have a breakout season behind only Joe Burrow. Which the Joe Burrow one doesn't really make much sense to me. He was terrific. He got hurt.
I don't remember how many games he played. I mean,
ten.
Oh, he played that many?
Yeah.
I think it was right after I went on Bet Rivers and I placed the Rookie of the Year bet on it is when he destroyed his knee. Seriously, I did. It's not a joke. I put it on there. I thought he was a lock to win it, and then the next week he blows his knee out and I'm like,
you convinced us to do that with Russell Wilson as well. After his hot start.
I tried to hop
on that moving train.
I also did that with Russell Wilson. That's right. I forgot about that.
And didn't you also do that with the NBA Rookie of the Year this past year too?
I did. Yeah. It's all true. Like some of this stuff,
Who did you have?
I can talk about it. I don't need you like coming in from left field. Like some of this is confidential.
I live in left field.
This is confidential. Stays in house.
Well, who did you?
I went with the number one overall pick because Ball was supposed to be out. He was supposed to be out for the year. Next thing you know, after I placed a bet, you get the reports from Woj like, no, Ball's not out for the year. They thought he blew all these tendons. No, he's back. He's going to be back in a week.
And then the odds flipped.
Yeah, then the odds totally flipped. I'm like, wait, what just happened here?
Yeah, how'd that work out?
It didn't.
The one that worked out here was when I jumped on Nikola, the Joker, for MVP.
That's it.
And
who was the conductor of that train?
You were. But I jumped on it, and guess what? It didn't budge, and it stayed the course the whole way, and that was a W. So I am 1-4.
All right. We're going to get into, by the way, some of these Broncos and their, we did that a year ago. We're going to have some fun with that here this week, hopefully. But Jeudy, ESPN has him at 2 as their breakout candidate. But in their eyes, it all hinges on the level of quarterback play. ESPN working with Pro Football Focus, the PFF quote was, Jeudy led the league in targets that were incomplete via a quarterback fault error. Okay. So Jeudy led the league in targets that were incomplete because of the quarterback 28 times, according to a tracking from Pro Football Focus. Accuracy.
Quarterback fault error. Okay.
Yeah. So 28 times, all right. Jeudy was not put in a position to succeed.
Okay.
All right. Accuracy issues from Broncos quarterback simply didn't allow for him to show off his true skill set, end quote. I disagree. I agree with what they're saying. It's almost like maybe when you have a divorce, maybe it's like plenty of blame to go on around each side. Like Drew Locke.
Speak for yourself.
Drew Locke. I'm happily married. Drew Locke did not help Jerry Jeudy. But
only one person to blame. It's the other person.
That's right.
You don't take blame yourself.
That's right.
Gosh, I hope my wife's not listening.
This is not a two-way street here with these guys. Like, they let each other down, I don't know if you could say equally, but...
Well, I think it did bring that up in the article also. I think it did talk about Jeudy and... Or it might have been another article I was reading. It did bring up the fact that he dropped, like, the second highest rate,
Number one drop rate. Number two was Hamler.
Yeah, so...
First and second round pick.
They talked about that, and I think when you look at it, look, yes. I mean, obviously, quarterback didn't help. He didn't help himself. And you mix them together. That's why he had so many targets and not nearly enough catches when you have that many targets.
Yeah, less than 50%.
It was a little bit twofold here. Quarterback play didn't help him, but he didn't help himself. So, he really has no one to blame but himself here. That's the way I look at it. That's the way I would look at it if I was him. It's like, I got to fix my stuff, my house.
Right.
I got to start catching more. And then if you start catching the ball, now you can say, hey, what's going on here? But in his situation, he can't do that. But quarterback play, Zach, how will it affect him this year? Is that kind of where we're going here?
Yeah.
Like, will it hurt him this year? It's certainly not, the best situation in the league. But I think, you watch him, what he did last year with Drew Lock and the other guys that we had. It wasn't just Drew, obviously. You also had Jeff Driscoll,
Brett Rippin, and Kendall Hinton.
And good old Kendall.
Golly.
Good old Kendall. How could you forget?
Kendall Canton, or Canton Kendall.
Yeah.
Got his wristband put in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Good for him. He deserves it.
First emergency quarterback since like the 60s with the Colts.
Mm.
Good times.
Yeah. Welcome to Bronco Land.
That's right.
But I think this year, the quarterback situation will be much better than what it was last year. Okay? This football team.
Regardless of which quarterback plays?
Regardless. This offense should be much better. Okay? You got two guys now that you were counting on a lot last year in Jeudy and Hamler going into their second year.
Yeah.
You got these quarterbacks, and you got one in particular going into his second year of this offense. Pat Shurmur's going into his second year here. Sutton got hurt last year. I mean, the pieces around Jeudy, I think, will play better also. And so it doesn't matter if it's Drew Lock or Teddy Bridgewater. I think quarterback play will be much better this year, and I think Jeudy will be better this year. So I think we'll see more production, less drops. Tough situation last year for all involved, and you don't get a free pass, though. It's the facts. It's not an excuse. It's the facts, but you don't get a free pass in the NFL. You can point to injuries and this and that first year offensive coordinator. I mean, all this thing. I got it. So it was a tough deal for the Broncos offense and for a guy like Jerry Jeudy. You don't get a pass. Got to be better this year.
It's the NFL,
I think,
man.
It will.
It's the NFL.
It ain't intramurals.
It's not intramurals, brother.
Go play intramurals, brother.
Yes, go play them. It's the big boy league. So, it will be better this year, though, for everybody involved, I believe. Is that the way you view this? How do you view Jeudy?
It has to be. It has to be.
How can it be worse?
How could it be worse?
Can it?
Hold on. Number one drop rate in the league from your first round wide receiver in a historical wide receiver class, and quarterback led the league in interceptions and was dead last in completion percentage. How could it be worse? I mean, It can't be.
I don't think it can.
It can't be. All right. The new name, image, and likeness legislation, there we go,
yeah,
has opened the door for countless opportunities for student athletes. But, man, there was one story over the weekend that had me thinking, are we moving a little bit too fast here?
Ooh.
Details next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach.
The new name, image, and likeness legislation has opened the door for, a bunch of opportunities for student athletes. But are things moving a little bit too fast? So last week, and I didn't get a chance to talk to you specifically about this, but last week, Stoke, we learned from Nick Saban that Alabama quarterback Bryce Young is potentially on his way to earning a seven-figure check off his name, image, and likeness.
I don't buy it, but I don't buy that.
Why not?
He's not even named the starter yet. Now, he's presumed to be the starter, but, I think Nick's just throwing that out there to kind of, have other recruits look at, this guy's possibly making $1 million. Maybe a few hundred thousand. Okay, but $1 million? for a guy that hadn't even played a down in college football. I mean, surely he's not getting national deals. So, is he?
No. No, right. I don't believe so.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're getting some money from Tuscaloosa, I mean, and their boosters. I mean, unless it's one of those deals where these people don't care. Like, okay, here, do my car dealership. Here's $500,000. Right. You know, I mean, that's certainly a possibility. But I think it's hard for me to see that he's going to make over $1 million this year.
Yeah.
But who knows? I mean, like, it just takes one booster, really,
right,
I guess. If they want to give it to him, then it's not that he's, you know, going to benefit a company that maybe a booster that doesn't care. But, like, there's no company that's going to be paying this guy this type of money right now.
Well, we'll continue to track.
Do you agree with that, or you think I'm off?
The thing that I like the most you said is, like, this nowadays is a subliminal recruiting tactic.
Yeah.
Like, you come to Alabama, you can get paid. You get paid out the nose. Our guy hasn't played it down. He's approaching seven figures. So if you're a junior in high school and getting recruited by Alabama, you kind
of
use your imagination, fantasize a little bit. I'm not exactly sure how to slice it in terms of, like, whether he's actually going to make that or not. We'll see what it looks like. But I bring this conversation up because now reports have come out from ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski, Woj, that 17-year-old Mikey Williams. You ever heard the name Mikey Williams? Good.
No.
I'm glad you haven't, because I wanted you to hear it for the first time here, because most people don't know who Mikey Williams is.
So the guy that was going to Gonzaga, the basketball player you told me about a year ago whatever, you wanted to be the first to tell me about him?
That's right.
But I saw him on, like, the cover of Sports Illustrated or something.
Come on now. 17-year-old Mikey Williams. Remember that name, okay?
Okay.
He is an explosive scoring guard out of San Diego that has become the first prep basketball player to sign with a major sports agency and pursue NIL, name, image, likeness, sponsorships. Here's the kicker, though. Mikey Williams won't be eligible for the NBA draft till 2024. He still has nearly 2 years to decide on college basketball.
Right.
He just got done with his sophomore year. But he's got a massive social media following. Mikey Williams has more than 5 million followers across multiple platforms. So he's got a little bit of Zion. Like,
right,
you hear him coming before he's actually arrived.
Mm-hmm.
And if I could describe Mikey Williams as a player, Mikey Williams is he's a smaller guard who's got athleticism like Derrick Rose-esque, creative, unorthodox finishes like Ja Morant, with the body size of, like, do you remember Dwan Wagner?
No.
Okay.
Bigger guy?
No, smaller, but stout. Guy.
Yeah, that's what, like, I was talking about, muscle.
Muscle,
bigger guy.
Yeah. I'm sorry, yeah.
Yeah.
So, apparently,
Dwan Wagner, Kentucky, Memphis?
Memphis. Right. Look at you.
I remember the name.
He was supposed to be. You're always so good at this. Richie just said, I don't know how he still, that you don't give yourself enough credit in the trivia department. Dwan Wagner was supposed to be, like, the next big thing.
Right.
Went to Memphis, was a top 10 pick in the NBA draft, went to Cleveland, and ended up having a stomach disease. He couldn't play basketball anymore.
Mm.
But he once scored 100 points in a high school game. I mean, Dwan Wagner was that dude. So this kid, Mikey Williams, is expected to open the door for millions of dollars in endorsements. Are we going too fast when we talk about a kid who just got done with his sophomore season of high school basketball, signing with an agency and slated to make millions? Or is it, hey, this is the American way? If someone's willing to pay him.
Yeah, I think if someone's willing to pay him, I think it's a little bit crazy. But at the same time, look, he's got a following. He has something to offer, you know, a brand, a company, then, and he can use that. So good for him. I mean, I think that's awesome. You worry about things, though. I mean, you know, as an adult looking at, you know, when you were that age and say all of a sudden you got $1 million in your pocket, then, you know, what happens to you then? How does it change you? How does it change people around you? All of those things. But look, hey, It is what it is, you know. I mean, my mind goes to, you know, just a bunch of different things. But how would you react as a sophomore, junior in high school, and you've already signed with an agency, and it's just like it's pretty crazy. But that's where this thing is heading, and that's the road we're going down, and we'll see what it looks like. You know, does this thing slow down at all in a couple years? Does it heat up more? I mean, that's what's going to be really interesting to me, to see where this thing goes here in the next couple of years.
He signed with Excel Sports Management, and Excel Vice President Matt Davis says he believes Mikey Williams will, quote, generate millions of dollars for this young man, end quote. He said Mikey's relevance around his peers in the basketball community is off the charts. He's one of the most relevant personalities in the basketball community. His digital and social media followings speak for themselves. Okay, he's 17 years old. See how this shakes out. There are going to be some horror stories along the way here. You know, like when they were letting kids jump from high school to the NBA draft, I remember, you know, following some of these guys when I was in high school, and guys just, you know, each person is going to handle this differently. So we'll see how this shakes out for Mikey Williams. We are certainly in a brand new era of just student athletes. All right, we have an update in the Deshaun Watson saga. While we've been on the air, we have a little bit of new information and some audio to play for you coming up next.
It's Stokely and Zach on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
All right, so the Deshaun Watson saga. I mean, between the Aaron Rodgers stuff and the Deshaun Watson stuff and kind of getting updates simultaneously.
Speculating about this stuff for a long time. And now, you know, here we are. It's action time, you know. What's going to happen with Deshaun? Obviously, and what's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers? And, you know, Houston's reporting, already reported, and Green Bay's about to. So, you know, we're getting a lot of answers quickly on this stuff.
No question about it.
And some still left unanswered with Deshaun.
That's right. And there is now speculation coming out of Houston that the Texans will make him available for a trade. All right? Mike Garofalo of the NFL Network, while we've been on the air, talking about how Deshaun Watson showing up for training camp yesterday actually puts Houston in a bit of a sticky situation.
The thought is that they're going to get Tyrod Taylor ready to be the starter for them. So how do you have Deshaun Watson there maybe taking backup reps? I mean, that's going to be the question for them. But really, the onus is on them because it was on Watson whether to show up for training camp. And then before that, everybody thought it was on the league to determine, well, is he going to be put on the commissioner's exempt list? And as I told you last week, I did not anticipate that before the start of their training camp. Because right now there are civil cases that are ongoing right now, and it's a lot of he said, she said, and there's no indication that criminal charges are imminent as well. So the league is sitting there saying, look, we're conducting our investigation, but we haven't reached any conclusions right now. We don't have reasonable evidence or reason to believe that something occurred at this point, so we're not going to put him on the commissioner's exempt list. So now it's up to the player and the team to determine how they want to proceed.
Yeah, very interesting. Like, you know, would he show up? And he did show up. Would he be put on the commissioner's exempt list? No. So he shows up. He doesn't want to get fined. But now Houston has been planning this whole year without Deshaun Watson in mind that something was going to go down. They were either going to trade him, but then once these allegations happen, oh, maybe he won't even show up. Well, if that doesn't happen, well, maybe he'll just go on the commissioner's exempt list. Well, it's none of that's happened, and he's showing up. Now, Houston Texans, how do you handle this? How do you think they'll handle it?
Man, I don't know if they can handle it the way that they want to handle it because of his status for other NFL teams. Like, I think the way that they want to handle it is trade Deshaun Watson, get a haul in return. What was the report over the weekend? It was like multiple, it was either two or three draft picks and multiple starters, like a total of five players or soon to be players in terms of draft picks, draft capital. I don't think teams are going to do that right now because his future is so cloudy.
Right.
We talked a little bit about this earlier. So if teams are.
Teams are out? What if you can't trade him right now if you're the Texans? Now, how do you operate?
Man, that is such a good question. Does he become your starting quarterback again? What is the objective in Houston right now?
What's their objective? They're rebuilding. They're rebuilding that football team, and it's probably going to be without Deshaun Watson. And yeah, I don't see him, if everything gets cleared, I don't see him being their starter in 2 years. So, you know, they're trying to kind of restart that culture, restart everything. Got a new head coach, new general manager, all this stuff. So, I think that's what they're doing. They're trying to lay the foundation for their future,
right,
which doesn't consist of Deshaun Watson.
Right. So I agree with you. Typically in the NFL, at the start of every season, nearly every team is trying to win as many games as possible. Not like the players and coaches aren't going to try to win, but there's one team really this year that sticks out among the 32 NFL teams that we know for a fact just doesn't have a shot to compete. They're devoid of talent.
Yeah.
They're in a really bad position. Everybody else, there's some level of intrigue. Even if you're talking about a team like the Detroit Lions, you have a new quarterback. You know, there's some newness. You got a new head coach in Dan Campbell. Can Jared Goff, this guy played in the Super Bowl, could this guy be the Lions franchise quarterback? Even in a place like Philly right now, there's some intrigue. With Houston, it just feels like they are the rare NFL exception. So I think if you're the Texans, the thing that you want to have happen is for Deshaun Watson's case to find some
clarity.
Find some clarity and have it resolved so they can get to their ultimate mission quicker. They're rebuilding. How do you rebuild? You need as many assets as possible. You need young talent. So the longer that it drags out for Deshaun Watson isn't ideal for the Texans as much as it is not ideal for Deshaun himself.
Yes, absolutely. And I think, you know, what they would... I mean, the hard part is, okay, Deshaun Watson's in the building. Okay, obviously, he's got the respect of his teammates there as far as, you know, he's our starting quarterback. But how does the new coaching staff general manager handle him now? Is he the backup to Tyrod Taylor? Is he the starter? Is he, hey, show up, but we're not putting you in at all. You know, does he not practice at all? Is that how they handle him in his situation? I don't know. I mean, I could see a scenario where everything kind of, you look at, you know, him being the starting quarterback, probably not. That's the one I could cross off. I don't think all of a sudden he hadn't been there all offseason, doesn't know the offense. They're not going to just put him in front of Tyrod Taylor because I don't think they envision him being there week one. So they're trying to get that football team ready to play. Coaching staff wants to win. So I don't see them putting him in as the starter. How about the backup?
That's just weird.
That's really weird. Maybe you have him as like the third stringer because you want your backup to get meaningful reps. If you don't see him being there in September, then why are you going to have him taking backup reps? Maybe you put him as the third stringer. I think that's more likely, or you don't practice him at all. You just say, hey, just show up. We have a, you know, wink, wink understanding that just don't cause trouble. Hopefully this stuff, you know, gets resolved quickly, and then we will deal you then. I think that's the most likely scenario is either third string, fourth string, or, you know, the wink, wink, nod, nod that, hey, just be here. Okay, we won't find you. Don't cause any issues. Be a good guy, good teammate, and, you know, you can just kind of go through the motions and don't have to do a whole lot.
Man, that is such a bizarre scenario, too, isn't it? You're talking about a top five or six quarterback in the league, and you're saying the best way, and I'm not saying you're wrong, by the way, like the best way to proceed is to have him be the third or fourth stringer.
What do you think, darling? Like that's when I go through the whole situation, you can't put him as a starter, can you? Or do you think you can?
I'm on ESPN.com.
Uh-huh.
He's now listed as number one on the depth chart. Last week it was Tyrod Taylor.
Well, who listed him there?
Oh, I'm not sure. I'm sure, I mean, it's a Texans. Like,
yeah, I don't. I mean, that guy doesn't know what he's doing.
But I mean, that
guy doesn't know what they're going to do.
No,
does he?
No. But I'm saying it's not an unreasonable thought to think that a top five or six quarterback in the league would be taking first team reps with his organization.
Maybe that's how crazy this is.
Like,
you're right. Maybe they go down that road. But what do you think? Do you think they could? Does he know the offense, Zach? Do you think he knows the offense? Do you think he's been studying that David Culley playbook?
No.
No, I don't either. So what kind of look does it send that locker room when a guy that hasn't been here all offseason, a guy that wants out, that hates Houston, he wants out of town, we're going to make him the starter in front of Tyrod Taylor, who's been grinding, been here the whole offseason? That just can't happen. That just can't happen. Well, especially if you want to trade him. Now, look, if they're taking the approach of we don't want to trade him, like we're not trading him at all, no chance we're trading Deshaun Watson, then I guess you can put him in as a starter, but it doesn't seem like they're taking that stance.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
So
it may just be like, hey, you're not taking any reps. Okay, this is a unique situation, so we're going to handle it uniquely. Show up every day. You're going to kind of work out on your own. You're going to be in the facility. We'll give you the playbook or something like that and just kind of busy work and just sort of check that box. But just having you around right now, it's not helping anyone.
Right. It's uncomfortable.
Very.
It's uncomfortable. You know, could you make him the third stringer?
I don't think so, Stoke. I don't think
okay.
so. You know why?
You couldn't make him.
Because that job belongs to Jeff freaking Driscoll.
Oof.
Okay.
He's not the backup.
No, it's just you got to knock out the champ, right? Like Vic said, Deshaun's got to knock out Driscoll to get to Davis Mills to get to Tyrod.
Oh,
all right, earn your stripes. All right,
Broncos looking down on the Texans quarterback room.
Right.
Like, what y'all doing over there, Nick Cesario? What y'all got going on over there in Houston?
Too funny.
Wow.
This is more Mike Garofolo.
Maybe he just runs practice squad. I mean. I don't know. It's very interesting, but you're right. There's a dynamic there that's awkward, uncomfortable for some guys because, look, right now what happens? Like, you know, when you're in that room, it's Tyrod Taylor leading that group, right? And,
right.
And that's your guy if you're a receiver because he's the starter. But if you were there last year also, I mean, you know, Deshaun Watson's your guy also.
Right.
So it's just awkward, like, oh, you know, I don't want, you know, it's a little bit like, you know, middle schoolish, kind of, you know, uneasy, and I don't know how it's being handled, but it's just a little bit awkward. Very, very, and it could be very, very awkward. I don't know how it's going down, but that's just the dynamics that are at play there that are really weird and odd, and it's like, what do you do with Deshaun Watson?
I can't think of another situation that resembles this one. This is more from Mike Garofolo on NFL Network talking about non-disclosure agreements.
I think a lot of folks thought by this point, well, Deshaun Watson will just settle all these cases and make them go away. Well, I can tell you this. There are a lot of factors at play on that front. But one of them, I am told by sources in the know on this one, is that Watson does not want to have a non-disclosure agreement as part of the settlement. That's usually the case. When you come to a settlement, it's a non-disclosure agreement, and it applies usually to both parties. Watson wants to tell his story because in his mind, he says, I've done nothing wrong. And these allegations that were brought against me in a public forum, now all of a sudden, they want their privacy on that end. No, I don't agree with it. I want to be able to tell my story as to what happened here. So that is a huge stumbling block right now, Andrew, when it comes to whether these cases are going to be settled.
Man, I did not think I was going to hear that today.
Well, that's old news.
Which part of it?
That Deshaun Watson doesn't want the non-disclosure agreement. That's old news.
But here's the thing. If you don't want the NDAs, that kind of goes to this thing is going to be stretched out for the next year and a half. If you don't want to do NDAs, that when I hear that, there's not going to be a settlement coming anytime soon. And if there's not a settlement coming anytime soon, you're going to be tied up in court for a year and a half.
Well, he is the one that doesn't want the NDA.
Right.
It's usually opposite. So if he doesn't want it, what happens if all of a sudden he changes course? If he just says, okay, forget it. Let's do the NDA. I want to get this thing settled because the other party wants the non-disclosure, right? He does it. But that's been old news. I mean, this came out months ago, right? This came out months ago that they wanted it. And he didn't want it because he wants to clear his name. But the ladies want it because they don't want to be put through the ringer.
Right.
So you can kind of understand both sides. So for me, what happens if he says, okay, I got it. I didn't want the non-disclosure because I wanted to be able to speak on this. But now I'm just tired of this thing going on. You know, sometimes it just weighs you and wears you down.
Sure.
And you just say, I just want to be done with this. And I want to have this over with. I want to move on with my life, my professional career. So you know what? Hey, what's his Harden? Rusty Harden?
Yeah, Rusty Harden.
You know what? forget it. Let's do away with KKFN, KKFN, HD1, Long Not Denver, and the disclosure agreement thingy.
You extended yourself. You extended yourself there pretty
good. We got any oxygen here? Von, oxygen. Let me borrow.
Keep your head up, baby, like your nose blew.
I cheated Marilat on Friday or Thursday.
How'd you cheat him?
I did it early.
Did you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, I just said 2 minutes early, Richie said?
Yeah, something like that.
Hold on a second. Hold on a second.
Well, listen.
You just can't. You're on probation, dude.
Dude, listen.
You're on probation.
Listen. This is our house, okay? You feel me? This is our house. So when people come into our house, we make whatever rules we want up, okay? They play by our rules, and it can change at any time. We know our rules that we play by.
Right.
But I wasn't going to let that guy come into our house and get a victory, right? So you should be pulling for me.
Yeah, there is a force of respectability there.
Right. That's what we do. We protect our house. Right? Protect our house? And that's what I was doing because I knew I couldn't keep going on any longer. I knew he was going to get it. He kept looking at his watch, right? And I said, you know what? All right. I'm just going to go early. I'm just going to go early here. Sorry,
that's
James.
A penalty.
And I look, if you're not cheating, you're not trying sometimes. But I wasn't going to let him come in and sneak in for one day of work and then get a W. So it wasn't happening.
Up, you want to boot this baby up here? We got
that's kind of my view on this thing is, you know, it could change quickly. It could change quickly if Deshaun Watson, because the longer these things go on, man, they just wear on you.
So, but if we're getting that report today from Mike Garofalo today,
but this is an old news report. That's what I'm trying to tell you. This, like, Watson has already, his camp has already said that that's why a settlement won't happen was because they want the non-disclosure, not us. They want it.
All right, let me ask you this, and I won't hold you to this, okay? I won't hold you to this. It's Monday, July 26th at the time that we're talking. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon here, Mountain Time. Does Deshaun Watson play a down of football this season?
Yes. I think so. Right now, I think, if the NFL hasn't put him on the commissioner's exempt list by now, they've done all their homework. They've done it. I mean, this thing has been months. So unless anything new comes to light, I don't think he gets put on that list, okay? I think eventually this thing ends up getting settled. And then once it gets settled, now it frees teams up to go after him. And I think that's when Houston trades him. And so I do think he will play football this year. That's kind of how I see this thing going down. What do you say? Am I off?
I don't think he plays this season. I think that the report from months ago, and maybe Garofalo is just parroting the report, you're repeating the report from a few months ago when he says he wants his story told.
I mean, that's all he's doing. I mean, I've heard about this for months. I mean, are you saying that you didn't hear, you don't remember hearing this?
No, because you did jog my memory. You did.
Okay.
You did.
It's been out there.
Could this be posturing, you know, from Deshaun saying, like, up until the 11th hour, right? Like, I want my day in court because you guys think you're going to get something from me. You're not. But as the hand is about to strike midnight.
Yes.
It's okay.
Isn't it striking, though? I mean, isn't it here? This is striking midnight, right? I mean, this is game time. It's like training camp is here. The season's here. Do you really want to wait until, you know, I don't know, when is this thing? February, March of next year?
Yeah. Yep. Yep. The deposition won't happen until February of 2022. Man, this is.
But you don't think he plays this year?
No.
If you had to say it right now.
If I had to say it right now, I think that this guy's reputation has been, if it's not ruined, it's been totally dragged through the mud. And he's made a bunch of money. He's showing up. He's going to continue to get paid. If he's put on the exempt list, he's going to get paid. If he's not, he's going to get paid. So I think that because he's going to get his money, he can afford, both literally and figuratively, to do this for 1 year to try to clear his reputation.
I like that. I think that's a real possibility right there. That, you know, he can play the waiting game. Why can he play the waiting game? Because he's still getting paid.
That's right.
And even if he gets put on the commissioner's exempt list, he still gets paid.
Pay
so
leave.
Now he can sit back and say, you know what? I'm going to fight this thing. Y'all want to go down this road? Okay, fine. And then next offseason, once I get my name clear, you know, I'm thinking like Deshaun Watson, if then I'll hit the market and Texans will trade me, you know, before the league year starts in March. And I'll have my name cleared or whatever the case may be. So that could be the approach, and that could be what happens. I just think at some point this thing gets – we get more clarity and both parties realize that we don't want to wait until March. And this thing might not end up good for one party. This thing might not end up good for the other party. Let's just get this thing settled and move on.
If that does indeed happen, will the Broncos be a part of one of these suitors? Do you think at the end of the day, George Payton and the Denver Broncos will be in on Deshaun Watson if the scenario that you believe is going to happen ends up playing out?
Only if this thing has clarity. It's got to have clarity. So if they come to a settlement and that thing goes away and he's not getting charged, yes, absolutely. You better be if you're the Denver Broncos. But you have to have some kind of clarity on it. And if it happens next year where they go through with this civil case and, you know, whatever happens then, I think the Broncos, until you have a quarterback, you're always looking. And but things need to be, you know, cleared up with Deshaun Watson, obviously. You know, we talked about it earlier, and I think the ownership situation here, without real clarity, the Broncos are out because of they don't have the one owner that can say, okay, I can take the heat here. And Joe Ellis and the trust don't want any heat.
No.
And they don't want that.
It's
so that's why
for them already.
That's why the Broncos won't be in my mind, until this thing gets really cleared up.
If it does get really cleared up, if we have that clarity and the 22 lawsuits go away and Deshaun is moving on, I know I am fully, I don't know, I shouldn't have said that. I am fully expecting the Denver Broncos to be all the way in on this. I am. This is such a rarity that a 26-year-old quarterback in his prime, or maybe hasn't even reached his prime yet, would be made available. And if you're the Broncos, even with the hit that his reputation has taken, if it gets clarity, this organization has no one in charge over there has experienced Denver Broncos football the way it has been for the last 5 years, 4 years really specifically. There has never been a stretch of NFL football for the Broncos that has been this bad. You know, Stoke, when I first moved here at the first couple months of 2017, this will be my fifth Broncos season here.
Four losing seasons for you, Zach. I didn't know if you knew, but we just wanted to make everybody aware. You moved here in 17. That's when the losing season started. So,
and that's when the winning season started for the Avs and the Nuggets. And the Rockies made back-to-back playoff appearances for the first time.
Look, Broncos country.
Yeah, true. My bad, folks.
It's all your fault, Zach.
But I brought that up is because when I moved here, it was those grand statements that –
yes.
Were carried with such pride, and rightfully so, more Super Bowl appearances than losing seasons. Haven't had back-to-back losing seasons since 1972. The highest winning percentage with the New England Patriots and San Antonio Spurs in the last 35 years in professional sports. Like, none of that gets to be said anymore. In fact, I heard Sandy say this morning that in the past 4 years, the Cleveland Browns have more wins than the Broncos, and they have an 0-16 season mixed in.
Oh,
I mean, think about that. About that. The Broncos have started the most quarterbacks across the entire league since the 2015 season. So even if you get that semblance of clarity, and there has been a hit to the reputation, I think if you're a decision maker over at Dove Valley, you might be willing to make a concession where in the past you wouldn't have, but you're feeling it. You're feeling the pressure from a revenue standpoint. It's already down because 2020 happened.
Yeah.
But in terms of jersey sales, season tickets, you know, and believe me, I'm not saying that people aren't going to go to the Broncos games. We know that it's going to be busting at the gills. But it hasn't been what it was forever. So I think that this Deshaun Watson conversation, I really believe it's – not only inbounds, it's right there at center court.
Yeah, I like the way you laid that out. I think once you get the clarity and once this thing goes whatever happens with it. If it goes away, then, you know, if you're in the Broncos situation, you're probably in at that point. And, you know, you always receive some backlash, certainly. But I think with clarity, now they can get involved. And when you've been in the Broncos situation and you're trying to win football games, you're trying to look for a quarterback, it becomes, oh my goodness, Tyler Palumbus in his bike shorts. I just almost just lost, just,
oh my
just
Lord.
In my mouth.
Wait, he's got like the tight things?
Yeah, the tight things. The tight things.
Oh my gosh. Dude.
Oh, sorry.
D-Mac's rubbing off on him.
I know. Oh.
D-Mac is like Mr. Selfie now. A guy never used to want his picture taken. Now he just takes his picture all the time.
Really?
But my only advice is this past weekend, just make sure you don't have barbecue sauce on your face
barbecue
the way he
sauce.
Did this past weekend. Yeah, did you see that, Richie? It's unbelievable. I said, like, wait, you're looking at your own face. Can't you see it smothered in barbecue sauce on the edges? It's like my son.
It?
I want to do it like my son, just clean just his face off.
Yeah.
My Lord.
But certainly the Broncos would be in play, I think, if this thing gets cleared up. And you don't have a quarterback, you know, so if you're a team that doesn't have the quarterback, everything goes away. How could you not be involved? 25 years old, whatever. It's like, wow. I mean, this, like you said, this doesn't happen. This doesn't happen. And you know, you could have that box checked for the next 10 years or so.
Yeah. All right. We'll continue to track it. But in the meantime, we have breaking Aaron Rodgers news.
Oh, my goodness. I'm not looking. I can't wait to hear it.
We have breaking Aaron Rodgers news. And we'll
is this from Slareth or from, like,
this is
Slareth?
This is from Schefter.
Oh, not from okay.
And,
all right.
And we'll get
maybe Mark will call.
Oh, you
just you got to come back. Maybe Mark will call and fill us in on some other stuff.
Oh, my God. So brutal. So stop.
Along with Schefter.
We'll give you the news next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 1043thefan.com.